Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry of Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Amanda's sermon was titled, When All You Can Do Is Laugh. Here's Sylvia with our scripture reading.
The scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It has been a rainy, cloudy, cold week. Unseasonably cold, right? I found myself repeatedly looking out the window just to see if the rain has stopped long enough to go outside. And when I am outside, you see, I get to run into my neighbors. I hear the birds. I see bunnies. I feel a sense of space and openness. For me, outside is a gift. Warmer would be awesome. Those days will come. But today I'm a little jealous of the setting in this lesson in Genesis. Abraham is outside, basking in the warmth of the day, just sitting outside his tent under the trees of Mamre. What a wonderful scene in which to greet the Lord and to discover the gift of laughter. We would do well to note that it is now Abraham who is sitting there, not Abram. It's the same man, he just has a new name. God changed his name earlier that year when Abraham turned 99 years old. Names for this people were very significant. A name was more than just a designation or a way to call somebody to dinner. To change someone's name was to exercise an awesome power over that person, because what you were doing was you were changing their identity, changing their destiny, a change that would alter who that person was and what he or she would do and become. God had exercised that power over Abraham. You see, Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of many. By changing his name, God set Abraham apart as a special servant with a special destiny to be the father of a great nation through which God would bless the entire earth. God does this with Sarai also. Changes her name to Sarah. Both mean princess, but the renaming stresses that she belongs to God, that she would give birth to nations and to kings. Now we should note that Abraham and Sarah have been waiting a really long time, 24 years. God first promised to give these childless senior citizens a son 24 years before the scene that's playing out in Genesis 18. 24 years of waiting, of living in the in-between. 24 years of knowing that things are supposed to be different, but they aren't. 24 years of carrying an unrealized promise. But it's even more than that, because you see, we measure fertility and childbearing in months. From a woman's perspective, it has been 288 months of vigilant waiting. It's a long time. We call this kind of time liminal space. Liminal space is a transition period where you have left something behind, but you're not fully in something else. These times of our lives are marked by ambiguity and disorientation, and they are so, so hard. Think back to a time where you knew that a loved one was dying, but you didn't know when that day would come. Think about the times you have waited for test results to come back from the doctor's office. That space of not knowing for certain. Think about the times that you sent your resume, but had to wait for a callback. Waiting in liminal space is a very special kind of time. It's a space where we do perhaps the hardest work we ever attempt. For you see, while we are waiting, we are being transformed. Sure, what we're waiting for is important, but what we are becoming while we wait is just as significant, if not more so. Faith and character and our very identities are forged in this time of delay. So it's no wonder then that after encountering these times, we just aren't the same. Our old names and titles, often they just won't fit anymore. We've been waiting, literally waiting for months now. We have restructured our daily lives, changed our behaviors, and made incredible sacrifices for the health and well-being of our community. And we are waiting still. And in this waiting, I think we are being transformed. In this waiting, we are learning and we are growing. In this waiting, we are realizing that there are pieces of our lives that we want to change, that will never be the same. An eagerness to grow and be different. In Bird by Bird, noted author Anne Lamott shared this story. It's one of my favorites. She says that when I was about 38, my best friend Pammy died. About 2 weeks before she died, we went shopping and she was wearing her Queen Mum wig and sitting in a wheelchair. There was an Easy Rider look in her eyes. I was buying a dress for this boyfriend I was trying to impress, and I bought a tighter, shorter dress than I was used to. And I tried it on, and I said to her, "Do you think this makes my hips look big?" And she said to me, oh so calmly, "Annie, I really don't think you have that kind of time. If COVID-19, stay-at-home orders, and physical distancing have taught us anything, perhaps it is this, that when we stop, when we let go of our plans and agendas, when we are forced to sit and wait, when we are forced to realize and acknowledge our limits and the finite nature of our power, we realize we don't have the kind of time that we used to. Gone are the days when we could dabble in the superficial and spend our energy on the ephemeral. We have, quite frankly, run out of time and distractions. As we have sat in our homes for weeks on end, we now have a better understanding what really matters, what is really worth our time and energy and devotion. And this insight has been costly. It's uncomfortable. And it has been oh so tedious, because most, if not all, of our newfound clarity has been born from what we're missing. It has been born from our pain. Who are you if you don't have an office to go to? What relationships and connections have been taken for granted? What needs and longings are now raw and exposed in that space that's created when you can no longer distract yourself with sports or movies or dinners out or a maxed out calendar that creates a sense of busyness and purposefulness? When you have officially watched everything on Netflix, those needs emerge and won't be ignored. We don't have that kind of time anymore. Add to this a growing sense of urgency to the problems that pull at the fabric of our life together: racism, gun violence, climate change, unemployment. We don't have time for platitudes and more of the same. We just don't have that kind of time. Perhaps the grace of all of this is that we will emerge through and into this time with a new name. But there's a problem, right? The distance from point A to point B, it's impossible. Sometimes that new identity that we feel growing within us, that new name, well, they just sound ridiculous. In our story, three strangers appear and Abraham gets busy. He calls for a feast to be prepared and a table is set and the servants fire up the barbecue and the party gets started. The guests ask, "Where's your wife Sarah?" Abraham responds that she's close by in the tent. And maybe it was hearing her name that pulled her attention away from the busyness of working in the kitchen, preparing food for these guests. But Sarah definitely overhears what is said next. The stranger says, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Sarah is in her 90s. Abraham is almost 100 years old. And this is a ridiculous statement. Sarah laughs. One translation tells the story this way: Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And that is when one of the most important questions of our faith journey is given voice. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Another way it's translated is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Sarah's laughter is born out of a sense of impossibility. How is this ever gonna happen? You must be insane. Sarah's laughter is born out of futility. God's question is a word of grace. Scripture could have given us a statement in this moment. Scripture could have said, nothing is too difficult for God, period. That's it. Believe it or not, accept it or not. But instead, here's a question. And it is through that question that Sarah and her laughter are transformed. In Genesis 18, we are to witness an impossible situation of two 90-year-olds living into their identities and becoming first-time parents. Indeed, it is laughable. Sarah stands there, chuckling to herself, resigned to a life as she knows it and the limits of that life. But the question hangs in the air. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? If you take a moment, flip forward in your Bible to Genesis 21, you'll find that Sarah is still laughing, but her laughter has changed. It's a laughter that is caught up in the power of God. In Genesis 21:6, we read that God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. A laughter that doesn't end with just one person, but spreads and grows. In the end, she doesn't just snicker and hold her hand over her mouth in a suppressed moment of cynicism. But now she throws her head back with a great belly laugh that questions and reverberates and is filled with life. This question gives her space. The question allows her to live into and own the answer, the promise that she has carried for years and struggled to cling to. The question opens the door and is her freedom. Is anything too hard for God? That is an overwhelming and shattering question, but it requires an answer. Answer yes, and the world is shut down, the universe is closed, and God isn't really God anymore. Benevolent, sure, nice and pleasant, perhaps, but as powerless as we are in the face of all that is broken and wrong. That question is for each of us. Now answer no. No, there is nothing too hard for God, and you and this whole world are in God's hands, and the possibilities, my friends, are endless. You see, God is then radically free to keep the promises that God makes despite the odds against them. Sometimes all you can do is laugh. Today I sense that many of us are quietly snickering. These past few months have been clarifying. We've had a lot of time to listen to our hearts. And some of the answers that we find there might not seem possible or doable. Some of the promises that are emerging, well, they might even be ridiculous. Some of the ways that we are being called to act and live in this world won't be understood by the people around us. And so we snicker and think, oh, it'll never happen. It needs to happen, but it won't. That gnawing sense that there is something else remains, and God's question remains. With a bit of laughter and a warm heart full of courage, God's faithful people respond, "No, nothing is impossible with God." And through our response, the promise comes to life. Sarah goes through a pregnancy in her 90s. Talk about advanced maternal age. And even more startling, she is a mother to a teenager when she is over 100 years old. So be prepared. The promises of God very rarely leave us to our quiet, manageable lives, but instead call us out into the new and the unknown, brimming with possibility. For now, well, we've still got a bit of waiting to do. As we wait, it's critical that we keep our sense of humor in the fullest meaning of that word. For when laughter goes, so does hope. When God reaffirms this promise to Abraham and Sarah, God restores not only their faith, but their ability to laugh as well. One goes with the other. Only the laughers can believe, and only the believers can laugh. And the only thing that's harder than waiting is waiting without laughing. I hope today you understand a bit more about the calling that God is placing in your life. And I hope that you understand that we as a community of faith are here to support you, to laugh with you, and to go on a journey of extraordinary possibility. Even now, especially now. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that our world is too small, our imaginations too confined. We expect to have happen today that which happened yesterday. We plod along, searching for the sameness rather than for your holy surprise. Then you come to us, your Holy Spirit breathes into our lives, disrupting, intruding, bringing life. And we laugh. Give us again the joy which comes from delight at your intrusions. Enable us to see that everything in this world is not of our own making, that you are free to create, to change, and to move. For the delight of all your wonderful surprises and unexpected incursions among us, give us a faith filled with laughter that dances in thanksgiving. Amen.